For most of us, fire is either black or white. Something is on fire or it's not, like your hair or your house. But in a forest, the intensity of a burn can make a big difference for years to come. Understanding this relationship between fire and birds can help make humans more adept at making these complicated decisions about when and how and where we fight wildland fires. The science that guides these kinds of decisions can take years to flesh out. Our guest today is a scientist who spends years conducting long-term monitoring projects and answering the questions about how forests work. She is the science director for Klamath Bird Observatory, an organization that advocates for bird conversations like this one and conservation. She led a team that spent a decade looking into the legacy of one southwestern Oregon wildfire, which burned over 6,000 acres in 2001. Their findings were just published in the journal Condor. Jamie Stevens joins us now in the studio to discuss them. Jamie Stevens, welcome to the exchange, or I should say welcome back to the exchange.
Thanks for having me.
Before we delve into this long-term study that was just published, could you tell us a little bit more about the Klamath Bird Observatory and what the organization's all about?
Yeah, we're a nonprofit organization. We're based here in Ashland. We work throughout Southern Oregon and Northern California implementing field studies. And then we work more broadly throughout the Pacific Northwest, delivering that information to various audiences and partner internationally as well, because our birds are migratory and it's a critical part of bird conservation. Essentially, we study birds and their habitats to ensure the sustainability of healthy populations and to reverse the declines of those that are in trouble. So by having a pulse on how populations are doing and how an example like this one, different natural disturbances are affecting individuals, we can inform conservation on the ground. So we share that information with people who are implementing various land management practices.
So the natural disturbance that affects birds, what we're talking about here today, is wildfire. It's been a long, hot summer, still smoldering out there. And as this study indicates, it seems like the fallout can't be measured in a season or two seasons or three seasons. How long did you spend looking at an area that was burned in southwestern Oregon?
One of the things that's really exciting about this study is we were well positioned to go in and look at the effects of fire because we had completed an extensive inventory the summer before the fire burned. So we have this great kind of baseline information. And then we monitored birds for the 10 years following the fire.
What does an inventory consist of for an ornithologist out in the field?
Yeah, so sometimes we just want to know what species are there. And by understanding what birds are in an area, it can help us think about forest conditions and inform future management. So it was just kind of a blitz. We went out and put hundreds of sampling points across the Applegate.
So this bird blitz, it just happened to occur before a fire. Obviously, you guys couldn't predict this fire. It wasn't a managed burn or anything like that. It's just the gods would have it.
Yeah, exactly. So it created for a good study design.
And this study, I want to kind of unpack the name of it. It's in the journal Condor Ornithological Applications. If you out there listening are not subscribers, you can check it out on our website, jeffexchange.org. The study is called Mixed Severity Affects Broadleaf Conifer Forest Bird Communities, Results for 9 Years Following a Fire. I'd like to unpack that verbiage just a bit for people like me who are not already in the know. What do you mean by mixed severity fire?
So wildfires typically burn here in Southern Oregon and Northern California with a mixed severity. And what we mean by that is that within a burned area itself, some areas will have burned really lightly. The fire will have moved really quickly, leaving lots of vegetation still standing, maybe just burning the forbs and the grasses. And then there's a moderate severity where the fire burns a little bit hotter, a little bit more intensely, and consumes more of those fuels. By fuels, I mean the understory, the duff on the ground and the shrubs. And then in the highest severity, that's where we see actual tree mortality and is often kind of the burned landscape that a lot of us imagine.
So is that how you break down fires when you are looking at a particular area, tier it into three groups like that, kind of small, medium, and large, or low, medium, and high intensity fire?
Yeah, that's a common practice. Most fires that burn, the agencies go in post-fire and assess them into those categories. That's a kind of course level categorization that we use.
And I think Now that we're talking about it, this is a really visually pretty apparent the hopscotch effect that you get with a fire. If you've ever seen a community even that's burned the way that one tree will burn and one next to it won't, or even that happens if fire and houses meet, you'll see seemingly one house will burn down and another won't. And that's a result of this fire intensity.
Yeah, and that patchwork that it creates within the forest is really important, and it's the natural way that fires burn in this region.
You got right to my next question there. What does the mosaic mean for forest ecology, you know, in broad strokes?
Yeah, so we're going to talk probably a little later about some specific results, but the idea is that those different burn categories result in different effects on the ground, different vegetation left standing, and so it changes the ecosystem entirely and the birds that depend on it. And the patchwork is an important piece of that. So the patch size that different species need of habitat and the way that the edges interact with that it's a very complex issue.
So why do you use birds as a measure of forest health?
Well, birds make really good ecological indicators. Because of their high mobility and their high metabolic rate, they respond really quickly to change. And when we go out and sample birds, we study all of the species that are present. And so in this study, there were 37 species included. Whenever something changes on the ground, some species are going to benefit and some are going to be hindered. So it's like each individual species kind of provides its own little measuring stick into helping us understand.
We're talking right now with Jamie Stevens, Science Director of the Klamath Bird Observatory. I'm Emily Curitan, hosting the Jefferson Exchange today for Jeffrey Riley. You're always welcome to participate in our conversations. That phone number is 800-838-3760 or email us jx@jeffnet.org. Have you experienced wildfire firsthand, or are you a birder, or maybe both? We'd love to hear from you. So Jamie, when people's homes are burned in a fire, it's a catastrophe. You just touched a little bit on how birds have mixed responses. Could you maybe talk a little bit more deeply about those?
Yeah, definitely. So what we looked at in this study was the interaction of fire severity and time since fire, and to help us understand how the birds were responding. So we looked at four different things. First, we looked at the vegetation itself and looked at the differences in the fire severity. And as you'd expect, the trees declined and remained depressed, and the shrubs recovered over the 10-year period. And that was most prevalent in high severity. And so the bird patterns followed that. When we looked at the entire bird community as a whole, meaning what species are present in a given area, it differed before the fire and 9 years after the fire. So before the fire, the bird community there was associated with mature trees and high canopy cover. And following the fire, it was a community of birds that were more associated with shrubs. And we saw those patterns mimicked in individual species and guilds as well.
Could you give us an example of some individual species that we associate with the big old unburned trees versus the shrubs that would come up after a fire's been through an area?
Yeah, some examples of the species that are in the forest before the fire would be hermit warbler, red-breasted nuthatch, yellow-rumped warbler. And then following the fire, and increasing more so in the higher severity areas, we have species like the house wren, the lazuli bunting is like a kind of a typical shrub associate that really increased rapidly after a fire. And also an example is the olive-sided flycatcher, which is a species that forages in those areas and is really dependent not only on the shrub layer, but the standing dead trees as well to use as a perch as it flycatches and forages in the area.
And the results we're talking about, I assume they have a broader application than the 6,000-acre area where they were collected. But could you tell us a little bit more about the study site? It was burned in 2001 by the Quartz Creek Fire. Where is it? Where is that?
Well, it's in the Applegate Valley. And of the 6,000 acres, a little more than a third of it was Forest Service land. It also had some BLM lands. And then about a third of it was private timber industry as well.
And you touched briefly here that you measured the different birds that showed up after the fire, and you didn't happen to have, but the organization Klamath Bird Observatory, you guys had gotten some baseline information on this area in the Applegate about what species were there before the fire. So a pretty unique framing there to have before, right after, and then a long time after. Were you just studying what burned and what didn't, or how did you decide which areas had burned the hottest and what that meant for the birds?
So the inventory that we had done was on the federal lands within that region. And so we took the fire perimeter, which had been mapped, and kind of looked at what points we had surveyed before the fire. And then we also surveyed points outside of the fire perimeter to look at what we refer to as a spatial control. Essentially, we want to make sure that what we're measuring within the fire is actually a pattern of the fire and not something that's happening more broadly across the landscape.
I imagine that's pretty difficult to do, especially as the years go on. But as an ecologist, you've kind of got your work cut out for you there. With mixed severity, we defined that word a bit ago as that hopscotch effect, where a fire doesn't solve, it's not a wall of equally distributed heat. Was this a solidly mixed severity fire, or was there any high intensity burning on the Quartz Creek fire that you studied?
Well, it was mixed severity, meaning that it had low, moderate, and high severity.
Okay.
And within the perimeter, about 23% burned at high severity, about maybe 50% at moderate severity, and then the remainder at low severity are kind of rough estimates of how this fire burned.
And I'm careful with this word natural, because it gets bandied about. Describes some cookies I like that actually are far from that. But is this kind of a fire? Would you use the word natural to describe it?
Yeah, the patterns that burned in the Quartz fire are typical of what we would expect of the dry forests of this region.
And are these fires common now, or are they becoming less common due to human interference or management?
Well, that's a really complex question, and there's a lot of people studying that right now. You know, we've been thinking over the last decade that perhaps fires are burning at higher severity based upon fire suppression of the last century, but there is some research that came out recently suggesting that the current fires, the way that they're burning, is consistent with climate and what's been going on over the past couple of centuries. So it's really a question that's still being answered.
That's still being answered. How these different, where the takeaway that I want to go with this study, which I don't know if we can go there, is what does this mean for humans? You know, what are we going to do with this information? Which agencies or which, land management techniques would this information affect, knowing what the birds do after a fire?
Yeah, that's an important take home for sure. I would think of it in two different ways. First, by understanding the benefits of higher severity fires for select songbirds allows us to help think about how to incorporate this patchwork pattern into intentional management that different agencies are doing on the federal lands industry as well. So how can we mimic that in the absence of fire if that's something we want to do?
That seems like it might be controversial. Is it?
Well, I think that it depends on what techniques you're using to mimic it. The idea of trying to intersperse more of a patchwork into management is something that is gaining some support right now, as opposed to thinking about management over large tracts of land that is like a single method and creating large blocks of certain habitat types.
Hmm. So Jamie Stevens, Science Director for Klamath Bird Observatory, you joined that organization not long after this fire burned through southwestern Oregon, if I have my date sorted out there. Have you been with the project from the beginning, this 10-year study of a 6,000-acre burn?
The study was started by our executive director, John Alexander, and a PhD student, Nat Seavey, who are both co-authors on the paper. And so they were getting this study off the ground while I was doing my master's work elsewhere for Klamath Bird Observatory, working on a different study. And then My other co-author, Ian Osprey, was with Klamath Bird Observatory for a while as well. So there was a paper published on the results 4 years post-fire, several years ago, by several of my co-authors. And so I've been involved in it, I guess, interspersed throughout the 10 years is the short answer.
And did the findings presented in that paper that came 4 years after the fact versus 10 years after the fact, do they diverge from each other very much?
They really do, and that's the take-home of this paper. So the earlier paper looked at the difference between burned and unburned in only 4 years following the fire and found that a number of species were in decline and only a single species had increased. So when we were able to look over this longer time frame and add this fire severity variable in, we found a lot more species responding statistically, and we believe ecologically as well, based upon that time series.
That's so interesting. 4 years later, it kind of looked like the fire, I think we tend to couch it, especially for me as a journalist, in search of synonyms for fire, we'll use words like blaze and inferno and consuming and havoc and catastrophe. So it kind of looked like that 4 years later, but it doesn't look like that from a bird's perspective 10 years later. Is there a particular species maybe that people would know that seemed like they had experienced a catastrophe after 4 years, which were actually doing better than they were before the fire after 10 years?
The house wren is actually a good example of that. It's a species that will be abundant in the forest before a fire, and then exactly it'll decline immediately after and then start doing really well. And the reason for that is that the habitat essentially is regrowing, and that's one of the other important kind of management implications of the study. The importance of allowing the shrub regeneration is really important, and allowing the standing dead trees to stay there. Those are some of the reasons why we saw the bird increases in this area, and so that has another management implication.
And are the standing dead trees important for a lot of bird species?
They are, yeah. Lots of species depend on them. I talked earlier about the olive-sided flycatcher using it as a perch for foraging, but they also nest in them. And there are a number of species who nest in cavities, and cavities tend to be abundant in standing dead trees. And so they're important during that shrub regeneration early stage, and as some of them are retained even longer into the future. Very beneficial.
Well, a lot to learn here about bird species and how they react to wildfire in southwestern Oregon and beyond. We've been talking with Jamie Stevens, the science director of the Klamath Bird Observatory. Jamie, thank you so much for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you for having me.